So I want to give you a sober, clear-headed assessment of former President Donald Trump.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. As always, we want to be constructive, edifying, helpful, and biblically based in everything we do. Delighted to be with you. We are here every day to infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong on the front lines. As I mentioned, the front lines, tonight and tomorrow we'll be finalizing the content for our next frontline newsletter that we'll be sending out. So be sure, if you're not getting the frontline newsletter once a month, it's free, it's digital, it'll stir you, it'll bless you, it'll inform you, it will equip you. Go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click subscribe and we will get it right out to you. Also, here's a phone number you can call. About what? Well, you can talk to me about Donald Trump and politics, or you can talk to him about the culture, the world in which we live, or you can talk to me about Israel. You can ask me a question. 866-348-7884. Same number as always. 866-34-TRUTH. And phone lines are open for a wide range of subjects today. I've told you that I'm not going to be speaking a lot about politics, about the elections. I'll be making comments from time to time, and this will not be a primary focus of the broadcast. I will weigh in. I'll share things that I think are important, helpful, useful. But as I've prayed and sought the Lord, my burden, my emphasis has not been as focused on the elections as it was, say, 4 years ago. And I wrote a book, The Political Seduction of the Church, outlining how millions of American Christians confuse politics with the gospel. So politics is important, but politics is not the gospel. And the church is not to be an appendage of a political party. And the church is not to look to an individual as a savior figure. And the church is not to look to the political realm to do what only the gospel can do. There is overlap, there's intersection, because we live in this world and the gospel intersects with politics, with culture, with morality, with society, with education, with every area of life. There's intersection, but we can't confuse things. We can't confuse things. And what I'm saying today is simply to be straightforward, clear, and helpful, but it's not to tell you who to vote for. It's not the purpose of the show. If you are a strong Trump supporter, my goal today is not to discourage you from supporting him. If you have real issues with Donald Trump, my goal is not to persuade you to vote for him. That is not my goal whatsoever. Rather, it's to help us as believers have a right perspective and a healthy outlook on things. So let's just go through a little of the chronology. And we discussed Donald Trump because of the major court cases he's involved with. And many would say these are just show trials, they're shams. This is what people are calling lawfare, just an attempt to take him down, to stop him from winning the elections. In the midst of this, he does a rally in New Jersey that may have reached, may have had 80,000 plus people attending. So a massive political rally. What are we to make of all this? So when I first heard prophetic words about Donald Trump and potentially him being president leading up to the 2016 elections, it seemed crazy, wild, preposterous, the idea of Trump being taken seriously back then. If you can remember back, it was so far out left field, it just seemed there's no way it's going to happen. And then he was my least preferred candidate. Out of those in the Republican Party that were running, there were 17 different nominees. I preferred virtually every one of the others to Donald Trump and was outspoken in raising concerns about Donald Trump because I saw so many Christians rallying around him. But I said all through the primaries that if it ended up being Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, then I would evaluate my vote and my stance because I could not vote for Hillary Clinton or the things the Democratic Party stood for. And if Trump was the candidate, I'd have to really evaluate, consider things. At the same time, my friend James Robison got to get very close to Donald Trump, spent a lot of time sharing the gospel with him, a lot of time speaking into his life, a lot of time rebuking and correcting. And at one point, as things were developing, the primaries, he made the statement, we may not get our man, meaning Ted Cruz, that a number of us supported for president, but rather we may get not our champion, but the people's champion. Now, again, many of you, like said Ted Cruz, many don't. That's not my point here, just recounting things historically. And James reached out to me at a certain point and said, I said, Michael, there may be something God's doing here. In other words, it could well be that Trump is going to be the next president, and whatever we can do to get close to him and speak the gospel to him and give him godly wisdom and counsel is a good thing. And ultimately, I did vote for Donald Trump, and I voted for him in 2016 and 2020. And the obvious reasons being, as a strong pro-life believer, as a strong pro-Israel believer, as a strong pro-family believer, despite the president's shortcomings, weaknesses, vulgarities, etc., I felt that on the major issues, he was a better candidate than Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden. And many of you agreed and voted similarly. Others have different perspectives. I'm not here to debate that. What I want to do, though, is explain where things got off the tracks, where things got off the rails, where things got messed up. Things got messed up when we began to exalt Trump as some type of savior figure. As I heard conservative voices in America saying, only Trump can save America. That was just as preposterous as calling Barack Obama the chosen one. There's only one chosen one. There's only one who can save America. And it's not a political candidate. It's the Son of God. It's Jesus, the Messiah. So people began to look to Trump in overexalted ways. And then what had been just a few kind of outlying prophecies in 2016 in the charismatic world that Trump would be the next president became this overwhelming chorus of these loud voices across America and different nations that prophesied Trump's reelection in 2020 and prophesied 8 straight years in the White House and declared that Joe Biden would never be inaugurated, etc. So the false prophecies then began to flood in. And we, when I say we, I mean many conservative evangelicals, in particular white conservative evangelicals, many of us, and I'm not saying me, I'm not saying you, I'm speaking generally here, many of us became better known as supporters of Trump than followers of Jesus. We became better known as an appendage of the Republican Party than as part of the body of Christ. To put it like this, some people's MAGA hat was a lot louder than their witness for the Lord. People who were kind of shy about their witness for the Lord, they had you know, something stuck in their front yard, a flag or a poster proclaiming their support for Trump, etc. And that really tarnished our witness. Others began to look at Trump as if he was this amazing, extraordinary, godly figure that anything he did that seemed a little vulgar or rough, well, he was just fighting for us, etc. And in doing so, we got on the wrong side of things. Rather than voting for him, we became apologists for Trump. We became defenders of Trump. And I say this as someone who voted for him in 2016 and 2020. So what we need to do now, as the elections are coming again, and as the presumptive candidates are Trump and Biden, once again, as in 2020, as remarkable as that seems, especially given their age and all the other potential candidates, that now many are facing just as stark a choice, except that President Biden and Democrats have lurched even further left and taken on even more extreme positions that would make it virtually impossible for someone like me to vote in that direction. I haven't been able to vote in that direction for many, many, many years. So let's just say that as you look at the issues and you say, okay, I'm just being pragmatic. I do want to cast a vote one way or the other. And in terms of things that are important to me, pro-life issues, the immigration issues, international and national security issues, standing with Israel, other things like that, you believe Trump would do a better job than Biden. Okay, fine. Again, my goal is not to persuade you either way. What I'm saying is, let's be realistic about the man we're dealing with. I see no evidence whatsoever that he is born again. I know he's prayed to receive the Lord with many different people. Some people personally have told me I prayed the prayer of salvation with him in private. I see no evidence that he's born again. I see no evidence of a relationship with God. I see no evidence of a real fear of God. And when push comes to shove, he remains a vile, vulgar man, narcissistic, openly so. So here he has this big rally, 80,000, 100,000, massive rally in New Jersey, and he starts talking about the trials and it's BS and using the actual word, and then the crowd chanting, yeah, it's, and using the S word, and he's egging this on, etc. Yeah, I understand politicians use profanity. Vice President Harris just dropped the F-bomb the other day. I understand people do this. But fine, that's who you're dealing with. In other words, if you feel he's the best man for the job out of the available candidates and that you'd much rather have him in the White House than Joe Biden, fine, that's not the issue. Just don't make him into St. Donald. And don't come around where you have to apologize for, defend everything. All right, so here, this was at the rally. You're going to hear this in context because there's really no context. It's one of these bizarre comments out of the blue. Just listen to this comment from the recent New Jersey rally. Do we have it, or did something freeze up on us? Okay. All right, I'll keep talking until we get it. But tell you what, looks like we've got it here, but it may run into the break. Tell you what, I'll play it on the other side of the break. Something just froze on our end. I'm looking at the video, but it's not playing yet. Okay. What I want to encourage you to do is this. You can vote for Donald Trump. When I say can, I'm not giving you permission. Without being a defender of Donald Trump, you can vote for Donald Trump without looking to him to save America. You can vote for Donald Trump without putting all your hope in his presidency. And you can vote for him and saying, I really don't like this. I really take issue with this. I'm embarrassed by this. But when it comes to the ultimate issues, I feel he's the better man for the job. I'm just saying we need to be sober and realistic and honest about things, lest we deceive ourselves, lest we set ourselves up for disappointment, unless we bring mockery to our witness by being defenders of a man that's often indefensible. So again, voting for him may be an obvious choice for you, but don't become an apologist for Donald Trump. And don't let your allegiance to Donald Trump come anywhere near, not even in the same universe, with your allegiance to Jesus and your proclamation of the faith. All right, we'll be right back on the other side of the break.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Have you ever noticed that you're not as strong as you would like to be? Is your muscle strength and even balance not like it was just a few years ago? I want to introduce to you MyoHealth, an amazing product packed with 9 essential amino acids that has been clinically proven to build strong, lean muscles at any age. This formula has 25 human studies and over $20 million in scientific research. It has been used by the U.S. Olympic swim team, the NASA astronaut program, the U.S. military, and yes, by thousands of people just like you. It has made such an incredible difference in my life that just recently, in my annual physical, my physician said, "You have unusual strength and balance for a man of your age." Thank you, MyoHealth. Here is our special offer for you as a Line of Fire listener.
Feel stronger, have better balance, and improved quality of life. Try MyoHealth for yourself. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com.
With the Mile Health, my strength has gone up. I was doing weight that I haven't done since my 20s. And I usually ride my bike to the gym, and then on the way back, after I've done my weight training, I'm huffing and puffing. And on Sunday, I rode my bike there and back, and I had so much energy. I'm telling you, with the Mile Health, amazing. I can't believe it.
Try Mile Health for yourself. Call 1-800-771-5584. 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Shout out to our co-sponsor, Trivita. Thanks so much for your generosity towards our listeners, giving them such a great discount. Thanks for your generosity towards our ministry, donating so much of the proceeds to help us reach more people on the line of fire. All right. You get to weigh in. You can interact with me on this, 866-348-7884. Look, the biggest thing is our witness before the world, is preserving our testimony, is being upright citizens of the kingdom who are known for our walk with the Lord, for glorifying Jesus. That's where we need to point our identification. I don't care that we get slandered by the world for our beliefs. Let it be. And if you simply are a patriot today, you love your country and you love Jesus, someone's going to call you a Christian nationalist and use it in a negative word, or we're all insurrectionists or white supremacists or whatever the latest accusation is. You can't worry about that. You can't worry about being lied about, being misrepresented, being lumped in together with other people that you don't really share values with. You can't worry about that. What you can concern yourself with is your own testimony and your own life. So I know many pastors and leaders listen to the broadcast. I'm blessed by that. I take that with the utmost seriousness. Should you address cultural issues from the pulpit? Sure. We live in this world, and the Bible intersects with culture. Should we address political issues from the pulpit when relevant? Absolutely. But our church should not be primarily known as a place for politics, but a place for exalting Jesus. Our congregation should be known for its work in the community more than it should be known as right-wing or left-wing or something like that. So it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of emphasis. It's a matter of what we stand for and what we are known for. So that's why I say, cast your vote as you feel best to cast your vote before the Lord. Weigh the issues. Take things very seriously. Our votes do count. Our votes do matter. But be careful with emphasis. Be careful with priorities. Be careful with your messaging. If you're going to post beautiful scriptures on your social media pages and links to great worship videos, and here's a sermon that really blessed me, and then the next thing you post is a political meme mocking somebody in a crude spirit, that's a foreign mixture. We know from the Old Testament that God hates foreign mixtures. Don't let it be. You know what Jacob, James speaks about in the third chapter, with our tongues, we bless God and then we curse people who are created in God's image. Let's be careful with the words that we use. Let's be careful with not getting caught up in a political spirit. It's just so essential. Look, it's not just for the glory of God. It's for the good of the nation. Because to the extent that we can function as salt and light, we can bring positive change to the nation. So here's a bizarre comment that President Trump made. And I'm playing this not to attack him, not to tell you not to vote for him. That is not my intent. So don't mishear. I mean, comments all come flooding. Why do you hate Trump? It's not hating Trump. That's not the issue whatsoever. I voted for him twice so far, okay? That's not the issue. The issue was how we view things and how we posture ourselves. Hopefully, this time we can learn from many of the mistakes in the 2020 elections and many of the mistakes while Trump was in the White House, and wherever we stand in our votes, do better this time around. But listen to this bizarre comment And there's really no you're going to hear the whole context to it. It's a complete throwaway, out of context comment, obviously, that was not on his teleprompter. And I want you to hear it, and then I'm going to comment.
For the world, they're emptying out their jails into the United States. They're emptying out their mental institutions into the United States, our beautiful country. And now the prison populations all over the world are down. They don't want to report that. The mental institution population is down because they're taking people from insane asylums and from mental institutions. You know what the difference is, right? An insane asylum is a mental institution on steroids. Silence of the Lamb. Has anyone ever seen a Silence of the Lamb? The late, great Hannibal Lecter is a wonderful man. He oftentimes would have a friend for dinner. Remember the last scene? Excuse me, I'm about to have a friend for dinner. Is this poor doctor walking by? I'm about to have a friend for dinner, but Hannibal Lecter, congratulations, the late, great Hannibal Lecter. We have people that are being released into our country that we don't want in our country, and they're coming in totally unchecked, totally unvetted, and we can't let this happen. They're destroying our country, and we're sitting back, and we better damn well win this election, because if we don't, our country is going to be doomed.
Okay, so there are issues with illegal immigration, no question about it, and the good case can be made that China is getting fentanyl through our borders, and et cetera. Other issues, fair enough. To examine those, talk about those, and of course this political speech is going to be rhetoric. But in the middle of it, you've got this bizarre reference to Hannibal Lecter, again, fictional character, famous in the movie The Silence of the Lambs, not to be confused with my book, The Silencing of the Lambs, which came after, obviously. And he's a notorious serial killer, cannibal. So just to reference him as late, great, and congratulations. Okay, where did that come from? Utterly bizarre. Makes no sense whatsoever. And not the kind of comment that you want to make as a moral human being. All right, you may say, well, Dr. Brown, what's that got to do with the fact that Trump appointed justices into the courts that because of which Roe v. Wade was overturned? And what's that got to do with the fact that Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem and would be standing with Israel right now much more than President Biden is? Okay, I agree. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It doesn't take away from the fact he did those other good things. What I'm saying is that you could vote for him and say, that's stupid, that's ugly, that's crass. Or you could look at some of the things that he posts on his own social media site, Truth, or posts on X, and think that's ugly or that's vulgar, or not have to defend him. Did he sleep around with all these different women in the past? Whether he did or not, he's not a believer. He certainly wasn't a believer then. If he's a believer now, I see no evidence of it. So don't put yourself in the position now where you become his defenders. Don't put yourself in the position now where you become his apologists. Don't put yourself in a position now where you can't talk about Jesus to someone because you talk about Trump so much and always try to defend Trump. And you don't have to. You can say he's vile or he's vulgar or he says things that I think are despicable. But when it comes to the candidates and who's going to do a better job on the things I think are most important, I think the good he'll do will outweigh the bad. And others will say, well, no way, because he brings such pollution to the church and we become like him more than us changing him. He changes us. And that hurts America more than anything. So can't vote for Trump or Biden. It's going to be someone else. Well, you work all that out between you and God. I'm not trying to influence how you vote. That is not the purpose of this broadcast. It is rather to say, please be realistic in your assessment. Please don't over-exalt a person. Please don't become defenders of a person, apologists for a person. If you're going to be defenders or apologists, do it for the Lord. Use your energy there. When false accusations come, when misunderstanding comes against God, against who Jesus is, against what the Bible says, that's where we take our stand. That's where we are defenders of the faith. That's where we will spend the time to open things up and push back with truth lovingly spoken and patiently laid out. But you don't have to do that with a political candidate. You, just like if it was the dog catcher. Maybe the dog catcher is vile, is vulgar, has been divorced multiple times, you know, is messed up in other ways. But when it comes to catching dogs, he's the best guy in the state, and he's the one that's going to keep your community safe. All right, so he's the dog catcher. I'm not going to make him into the savior figure or a saint. So there's no Saint Donald. Forget that. There's no Saint Donald or superhero Donald. There's a very flawed human being who might be the better candidate between the two, and you make that decision. But do it in right context. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Here's the number to call to get in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-7884. 866, what, did I give you the wrong number? 866-348-7884. There we go. So you can join in the conversation. Again, my purpose here is I'm jealous for our witness. I'm jealous for the reputation of Jesus. I'm jealous for the church being the church. So political involvement without political seduction. In my brand new book, Turn the Tide, which I really encourage you to get hold of, it will inspire you. It will inform you. You'll find yourself on the pages as you're reading, you'll find yourself, and in other words, where you live, the world that you're in, be it a student on a college campus, be it a pastor standing behind a pulpit, be it a homeschooling mom, be it a mom or dad out in the business place, in the wherever you are, be a young person, it's a social media influencer, there's practical wisdom for you as to how you can shine as a light in this dark world. There's practical wisdom for you. I am absolutely sure that it is the will of God that there be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in America. I am absolutely sure that there be a pushing back against the tide. I am absolutely sure that it is not too late for the nation. Times are urgent. Things are crazy in terms of the madness taking place all around us on so many fronts. We talked about some of that yesterday, but it is not too late. Just the overturning of Roe v. Wade alone should encourage us that it's not too late. And look, has America gone in one direction only through our history? No. We've taken steps in certain directions that are positive and others that are negative. So the abolition of slavery, the abolition of segregation, these are major things over long periods of time in America. More equal rights for women, the right to vote. Women didn't have that originally. Women getting the same pay for doing the same work as a man. That was not in place. Certain opportunities for women outside the workplace. In times past in our society, there was much more discrimination against Jews. Now, that's rising again now. A spirit of Jew hatred is rising again in our midst. But in times past, there were quotas at universities. You don't have certain numbers of Jews coming in. So there's improvement there. There's improvement in terms of we went the way of abortion. Now we've overturned Roe v. Wade. Now we've got to fight this battle on a state-by-state-by-state level. But it's to say there's stuff that's gone in the very wrong direction. We could all catalog that. We could talk about the deterioration of the family, the deterioration of morality, the deterioration of so many other things in our country. We could easily do that without a problem. I've written whole books cataloging what's wrong. You know, just think of porn, the ubiquitous nature of porn. Think of a time in America where Marilyn Monroe was a centerfold playboy decades ago, massive controversy over that. And compared to now, any kid with a cell phone can access porn. It's ubiquitous. There are real major problems. And so many kids raised in broken homes and on. We could catalog all the problems. But in the midst of it, God hasn't quit moving. In the midst of it, God hasn't said it's over. And nowhere is God telling us to throw in the towel. So I'm saying we can rise up and make a difference, but let us not put all our trust in the political system. Let us not look to politics to do what only the gospel can do. And under no circumstances, let us over-exalt a human being. On any side, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whoever, let us not over-exalt a human being or put them in any type of savior status. It is unrealistic. It is insulting to God, and it ultimately will do far more harm than good. All right, let's go over to Sonia in North Carolina. Sonia, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thanks so much. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this issue with Christians and Trump support. I'm at a loss. You know, I thought that we as a church body should know better than this. How did we get here? How did it come to this with the body of Christ and Trump?
Well, do you mean voting for him at all or exalting him?
No, not that. This whole, you know, only Trump can save America. And,
got it.
And, you know, the whole Trump mania, the whole hyper-focus, hyper-support type thing. How did we get here? The thing that has embarrassed the church so much, or should have embarrassed the church so much, how did it come to this?
Yeah, so let me give you what I believe are some of the steps in which that happened. Number one, we do that a lot in our political system in general. Hence, and only Donald Trump can save America, that we tend to over-exalt people. We hype them up. They're the ones that are going to make the difference. What happened with Trump, and again, it's not the issue of voting for him, as I did twice. That's not the issue that we're addressing. It's the Trump mania. What happened was he became the champion. In other words, finally, somebody stands up. Finally, somebody has backbone. Finally, you punch him in the face, he punches you back twice. there, he's not just going to sit back and take it. And he's fighting for us. Not only so, when we would work to get other conservatives or Republicans elected, let's say working to get one of the Bushes elected or get Ronald Reagan elected, we would often feel that once they were in the White House, they forgot about us, that we helped get them in, and then they had more of a political agenda that separated from some of their conservative Christian base, but not Trump. He was surrounded by evangelicals. He was surrounded by other believers, and he was delivering on his promises, and he actually moves the embassy from Jerusalem. That goes back to the Bill Clinton days, that it was passed by law that we'd move the embassy, and then it would every 6 months, no, delay it. So it didn't happen under Bill Clinton. It didn't happen under George W. Bush. It didn't happen under Barack Obama. Finally, Donald Trump does it. So he's fighting for us. He becomes the champion. And then you add in the charismatic deception part with all these prophets speaking these words and as if this is now God with Donald Trump and the God side and what God is going to do and the miracle of it and all of this and him being the type of personality. Look, he knows how to promote, right? Just the Trump name. All you have to do is just say Trump in a room and there's going to be a million different opinions. So he's known how to promote himself and feed on that. And then to the degree that people genuinely believe the election was stolen or that there were unethical things done against him. And certainly there were things suppressed, you know, Twitter, it's recognized it suppressed a New York Post report about Hunter Biden laptop and other collusion theories that were bandied about. So now it's like everybody against Trump. And because he fought for us, we're going to stand with him. And our lack of spirituality as a church, our superstar mentality, we exalt the man of God, the woman of God, the superstar Christian leader. So now this is what we did with him on steroids. So to me, it's kind of a perfect storm of these different factors coming together. And my hope is that this time around, we've learned our lesson. And, you know, for a Christian to be at a Trump rally, I had Christian friends with these rallies. They said they're great. And people were praying at the rallies and so on. Okay. When you get the rally and they're chanting the S word and BS and all of this and that spirit, and there's anger and attack on others, I hope you can recognize this is a political rally. Don't make this into something spiritual. Don't make it like God was there. No, it's a political rally. And you may prefer that candidate, but let's not mix the two things here. That to me is the process as best as I understand it.
I do appreciate that. And I think that all of those things are things that we need to be keeping in mind because we have shown just how vulnerable we are to stray like that. And the things that happened in the first 4 years, if he gets elected again, can easily happen again and are likely to happen again. And we can't afford to go down that same road. And I just hope we won't.
Yeah, I agree with you on all points. Let me say this last thing. It's obvious that America is really polarizing, that the left and right are separating more deeply and there's less ground in the middle. And America for many years has been more centrist, but right-leaning centrist in terms of the overall population. And now there's less and less middle ground. If you think back to confirmation of Supreme Court justices in years past, there was obviously a lot of upheaval over Robert Bork and then over Clarence Thomas. But in many other instances, people worked together and they said, okay, as long as we think the person is qualified, they're in. Now pretty much any Supreme Court nominee is going to be massive division between Democrat, Republican. Everything's just going to divide along those lines. So we're becoming increasingly polarized. And with each election, it feels like the stakes are higher, you know, that the agenda. So from our perspective, conservative Christian perspective, the agenda of the radical left is becoming more and more dangerous and more pronounced and more extreme and more antagonistic to the values we have. So with each election, you say this is the most important election of our lifetime. And we can even overhype that as well, because as much as the elections matter, and as much as I've been deeply grieved over decisions made by the present administration, I still know that in the midst of it, God can pour in a spirit and bring awakening to the church. And through awakening in the church, it can bring, or an outpouring in the church, it can bring awakening to society. And last point, I think that sometimes we run the risk, whichever side we're on, as we're praying, we get our candidate, the one that we've been voting for, they end up getting elected. And instead of keeping our foot on the gas, what often happens is we take our foot off the gas and we start to coast because, well, we got our guy or our gal in the office we were voting for, and now they're going to do the right thing, and we can depend on them to do the right thing. Hopefully they will do the right thing, and we hold their feet to the fire. But on our end, we have to push harder than we've ever pushed. We cannot let up. And you'll often see more outpouring come to the church when we don't have the people we want in office, because it reminds us we've got to get on our knees, we've got to pray, we've got to cry out to God, because outside of Him, there is no hope. Outside of revival in the church, sparking reformation in society, it's over for America as we know it. And politics can only go so far. Yeah, thank you so much for the call. God bless.
Have you had a setback from an injury, accident, or surgery that left you feeling weaker and a loss of strength? Or are you feeling the effects of aging and just don't feel like you have the stamina or energy you used to? Then MyoHealth might be an answer to your prayers. Backed by 24 human clinical studies and over $20 million in government-funded research, MyoHealth contains a perfect balance of all 9 essential amino acids. With MyoHealth, you can rebuild your strength, improve your balance and mobility, have more energy while restoring your health and vitality, and start building new, lean, stronger muscle in as little as 30 days. By combining MyoHealth with a healthy diet and regular exercise, you can feel stronger at any age, have more energy, and live a life with vitality. Put the power of MyoHealth to work for you.
I started working out consistently for the first time in years, and I've lost 50 pounds. I've been lifting weights, I've been swimming, and then the muscle mass, that's what really surprises me. I can't believe at my age, I'll be 73 this fall, my life has changed. I'm not the same anymore. MyoHealth changed my life, definitely, and I just thank God for it.
I would definitely recommend MyoHealth.
I'm sold on MyoHealth.
MyoHealth tastes great, and it helps me in the gym.
I feel like I've got my strength back.
My upper arms are tighter.
I have a great deal more energy.
I encourage anybody to try MyoHealth.
It really works.
Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com to place your order for products to support your wellness goals. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so blessed to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to change subjects in a moment. First, let me remind you that most days I'm writing a new article, 4 or 5 new articles a week, dealing with what's happening in the world around us, dealing with what's happening in America and Israel, giving you a spiritual perspective, sometimes just an inspirational teaching from the Word. That's every single week. And then we've got a new radio broadcast every single day. So, and then sometimes we have little short videos we put out. All that to say, there's a lot that we're putting out that would be great resources for you. but it may be hard to follow and catch all of it. And you say, well, I don't want to miss anything. No problem. Just go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, click subscribe. And when you do, once a week, the end of every week, you'll get an email. And that email will tell you, here are the latest articles, and you'll know what they're about. Here are the latest videos. And right there at your fingertips, you have all the info. Let us be a help to you. Let us be a resource to you. This is what God's called and equipped me to do, and to help me to be a watchman on the wall, and to help me to weigh in on controversial, difficult subjects and work through them in a way that we can now give you practical information, practical guidelines, talking points that'll strengthen you in the world where you live. So let us serve you. Go to thelineoffire.org, click on subscribe. Okay. I want to play a clip for you as we change subjects to remind you of the dangerous rising tide of Jew hatred in America. And when you hear campus protests and people are chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, remember, they mean no more Israel. Some don't even understand what they're saying. But what they're saying is, because the river is the Jordan River and the sea is the Mediterranean Sea, and in between the Jordan to the east and the Mediterranean Sea to the west, in between those two localities is the nation of Israel. So if you're saying Palestine will be free, it means free from Jews. It will now be a Palestinian-only state. That's ultimately what they're saying. That's what Hamas has always said. That's been their position. Not a two-state solution. Not let's go back to pre-1967 borders, which are really impossible and defensible. Let's go back to that. No, no. From the Hamas position, there can be no Israel. There can be no Jewish state there. None. Gone. Goodbye. Jews either annihilated or expelled. One choice or the other. So there is more and more rhetoric like that now from Islamic protesters and from their allies, from their friends and colleagues. So Hamas issued a document a couple of months after the horrors of the October 7th massacre, and they called it our narrative. And it begins by stating this is something that doesn't go back to October 7th or go back to 1967 or 1940. It goes back before that. In other words, once Jewish people started coming back into the land in larger numbers in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that's really the beginning of the problem, because they don't belong there. It's blatant, it's clear. And I've seen protesters use that, their exact same language, virtual quotes out of the Hamas document, the Hamas narrative there. So let's not be deceived about what some are actually saying. They're not saying, well, we need a ceasefire and we've got to work towards a two-state solution. They're not saying that at all. Some are. But many are saying something much more. The Jews in Israel are colonizers, period, and colonizers deserve what they get, and you get rid of the colonizers, that's it. So there is a Muslim dentist in Florida, and a few days ago, he's preaching, he's also an imam of a mosque, Dr. Fadi Kablawi in North Miami. So this is a couple weeks back, but I just discovered this clip last night. I'm going to play it for you. It's going to start off in English, where you hear what he's saying. And then he goes off in Arabic, and there's a translation of what he's saying in Arabic that's on the screen that was provided by Memory TV. If you've never gone to their website, memri.tv, or no, excuse me, memritv.org, Memory. So it has to do with Middle East research, memritv.org, Memory TV. Go there, and what they have is actual clips from here's a talk show in Syria, and listen to what the guest is saying about the extermination of Israel. Or here's a sermon from imam in Iran. In other words, some of this is just they're taken from the newswire and from TVs and others. They are able to record within these different places, and you actually see the footage, and then there's full translation. It could be in Farsi, it could be in Arabic, and you see what's actually being said. That and the website PalWatch. PalWatch, P-A-L, Watch, palwatch.org, which just focuses in on things being said by Palestinian leaders. So Hamas, Fatah, PLO, etc., those leaders over the decades, see exactly what they're saying, quotes, verbatim, not there's a sentiment about them. No, here's what was posted on their Facebook page. Here's what was said on their state-run TV. So I want you to hear, this is a clip from Memory TV, but this is right here, friends, in America, North Miami, Florida. Let's listen.
The most immoral armies, Nazi, worse than Nazis, and I apologize to the Nazis last week because these people have proven to be worse than the Nazis. They steal the skin of the Palestinians. Not enough they stole their land, now they steal their skins. Organs missing from children, from adults, organs are missing. Go and find who is behind organ trading in this country or in this world. Go ask the Haitians when they had the earthquake, what happened there with these Israeli organizations going under medical help. Ask them, those who know. The guy will come limping into their tents for his treatment. He will walk out, he will be carried out, dead. Organs missing. All that is because there is no God for these people. All that because these people look at you as nothing but a mistake. Or the best. You were created for their service. That's what they believe. That's what they say. That's what they believe. And we don't spread propaganda.
Yeah, and then after that, he begins to make proclamation in Arabic. So he's obviously fluent in this. Don't know what, I was trying to find what country he was born in. But he begins to make these proclamations in Arabic. So he's doing it strategically because to say it in English would be all the more inflammatory. And he ends with, O Allah, support our oppressed brothers in Palestine. O Allah, annihilate the tyrannical Jews. O Allah, annihilate them, for they are no match for you. O Allah, annihilate the brothers of apes and pigs. O Allah, demonstrate upon them the wonders of your might. Just reading it off the screen. Allah, cut off their seed. Allah, break up their fellowship. Allah, disperse them and rend them asunder. So that was preached in a mosque in North Miami, Florida. These hateful sentiments are being cultivated. And once again, I ask you, as followers of Jesus, what are you doing as this is happening on our watch in America? As hostilities against the Jewish people increase, as anti-Semitic hate crimes increase, violent crimes as well, not just speech, but violent crimes as well, continuing to increase, skyrocket, not just around the world, but here in America. It is time for us to say, because we recognize God has chosen the Jewish people for a purpose. Even in unbelief, they remain chosen for a purpose. Therefore, we stand with the Jewish people. We recognize it is God who brought them back to the land of Israel. Therefore, we stand with attempts to annihilate them and exterminate them. We recognize that's the work of the devil. Just look at what the devil is doing and who he is trying to destroy, and then get on the other side of that and stand with God against the work of the devil. And as a friend of Israel, you can urge them to do their best to prevent civilian casualties. As a friend of Israel, you can ask them to use whatever wisdom they can to destroy Hamas without destroying others alongside of them as much as it can be prevented. As a friend of Israel, you can differ with the Netanyahu government. You cannot like some of the decisions the government makes. You can have different issues about settlements in the West Bank. We can debate all these different things. That's fine. But let it be clear, as many in America continue to go, even political leaders, into very, very dangerous territory, dangerous anti-Israel territory, dangerous anti-Israel rhetoric, as believers, let it be that when this came our way, contrary to what happened in Nazi Germany and Nazi Europe, contrary to that, may it be that the overwhelmingly loud, clear, persistent voices are those of followers of Jesus saying to their Jewish communities, we are standing with you. If people come after you, if they come to hurt you, they have to get past us first because we are standing with you. And we recognize a common destiny and heritage despite our differences over who Jesus is, and despite our firm belief that Jewish people can only come to salvation through Jesus the Messiah. Let it be known, let it be shouted out for the world to hear, for the Jewish community to hear. As followers of Jesus, we are standing with you. All right, friends, we're going to have a really fascinating show tomorrow. Great interview. I think you're really going to enjoy. Be sure not to miss it. Join me right here on the Line of Fire.